Thanks for listening to the Doug Gottlieb Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday, 3 to 6 Eastern, 12 to 3 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Doug Gottlieb Show at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
What up with your Doug Gottlieb Show, Fox Sports Radio? How you doing? Better than the 76ers. We got a great third hour for you. Outstanding. Horace Grant is going to join us at half past the hour. We'll ask the former NBA champion about the new look Chicago Bulls. You know, here's the thing that's really cool about basketball. NBA season starts tonight, right? And let's just do this. Am I okay saying basketball players are the coolest professional athletes? All right. Now, what I mean by that is, like, basketball players have rappers want to be basketball players. Football players want to be basketball players. Part of it is you can see them. Part of it is, you know, you don't have to, there's no position you have to carry excess weight like you do in football. You know, these guys, these linemen, they get done playing and they, you know, most of them, like, I got to drop 100 pounds, right? You're not taking some sort of beating. You know, part of my thing with the concussion protocol with NBA players is, hey, you know, here's the thing. I understand that head trauma is a serious deal, but if there was a problem with it in the NBA where we had to legislate it, like we do the NFL, wouldn't there be any sort of player that suffered any sort, there's just, that doesn't exist. You have former NFL players, you know, contracting ALS. You have former NFL players that have all kinds of debilitating dementia. And, of course, what's the other brain disease they're talking about? What's it called? CTE, right? Like, there's no NBA players. So it's safer. It's cooler. Right? What do you think the coolest part of being an NBA player is, or being a basketball, just basketball in general? Byer, you've played both. What do you think is the coolest part? What is the coolest part of being a basketball player?
Are you searching for an answer, or are you
no,
just wondering?
I have one. Okay, so I'll
tell
you.
Just tell me what you think, because I think that everything
lineups,
would be cool.
Starting lineups.
Okay.
Right? Like, it doesn't really mean anything to start a game, but it does. I mean, it's just cool. And everybody's trying to top the next team with how you do. Plus, remember the old tearaway pants? You get starting lineup, you come out and you rip off the tearaway
yes,
pants.
Absolutely.
You got, everybody's got a different high five. Like, they do starting lineup sometimes in the NFL. It's like not that cool. Like Major League Baseball, you come out, you tip your cap. Basketball starting lineups is the coolest.
I honestly, Doug, when you ask the question, I go, maybe it's like access to nightclubs. Maybe it's groupies at the hotel.
These are all possibilities.
Yeah, I'm just trying to think of like front
I'm
row.
In basketball, like, right? It's just the idea of you like getting introduced. Now, out of the 6'6 guard out of North Carolina, Michael, right? Like, that's cool. It's really cool. Like the NFL, when they do it even on TV, they just flash it up real quick and somebody says, Michael Jordan, University of North Carolina. Like, yeah. Basketball is cool.
Carolina, head guard, 6'6, Michael Jordan.
Do you have a personal favorite? Did you like the Pistons got Detroit basketball? Did you like that one, Byer?
Yeah,
did you
and
like
theirs was the final countdown by Europe yeah. as well, I think.
That was good, but
yeah, I don't think the Bulls you really can't top.
Because they also won 6 championships and they had Michael Jordan. He was the coolest of cool.
Yeah. And you knew like the order, you know, because you knew like that Jordan was going to be at the end.
Yes.
It's like TV credits on shows. When you do everybody's name and then there's like the one star and they're like, you know, so-and-so as George, you know, something like that. And that's not Seinfeld. I'm not just, but that's
Jason Anderson. Jason Alexander. Seinfeld. Basketball is pretty cool. But it is there just is always some sort of like, crazy drama. This is really crazy drama. Ben Simmons yesterday was at practice, and it wasn't just that he had his sweats on or he had a cell phone in his pocket, but there's like a there's a picture of him with a cell phone in his pocket, and the cell phone is lit up. So he had been on the cell phone. Why would you possibly think you should bring a cell phone to basketball practice? Anybody? Is there any viable excuse to which you're like, yeah, I get why he has a cell phone. Like, why would you have a cell phone at practice? Does anybody have any idea how disrespectful that is? Well, today, he was kicked out of practice. Here's Doc Rivers, his head coach, on why.
It was a distraction today. I didn't think he wanted to do what everybody else was doing. And it was early. It wasn't a big deal. Just told him he should leave then. And we went on with practice.
He told him he should leave, and he did. Then he was suspended for conduct detrimental. If you think this is fixable, here is Joel Embiid.
At this point, I don't care about that man, honestly. He does whatever he wants. You know, that's not my job. You know, that's those guys' jobs. You know, I'm only focused on trying to make the team better, win some games, you know, play hard every night, try to lead, you know, the guys that we have here. And I'm sure they feel the same way because, you know, our chemistry has been excellent despite, you know, everything that's been happening in the last few months.
He's done, right? Done. So I thought this was interesting timing. You know, the commissioners of you know, before the finals and before the Super Bowl and before the season, they'll do interviews with their TV partners. So Adam Silver was on ESPN with Malika Andrews. He was asked about the Ben Simmons situation. Take a listen.
I don't really see it as being sort of the modern day issue many people are painting it to be. On the other hand, it's something you never like to see as a league that. You know, I think for Ben, I think what people are suggesting is that this early in his contract, it's highly unusual to be holding out in the way he is. But again, both sides have rights. As a result of holding out, he's some combination of not being paid and being fined on top of that. And so it's an unfortunate situation. And obviously, there's a reason why we have contracts.
There's a reason why we have contracts. Okay, so... if there's a reason that you have contracts, what do you do here? Like, what do you do? And I thought, like, what Adam Silver said was really interesting. He went on to say, like, look, no matter what we do, a player can still withhold his services, and then a team can either trade a player or can cut a player or can punish a player and suspend them and fine them. Like these are all, this is like, these are the only safeguards you can put into place. That's basically what he said. There are no other safeguards that you can put in place. These are the safeguards that you can put into place.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
Doug Gottlieb Show, Fox Sports Radio. Hope you're having a great day. Always remember to plug in. Awaken your ninja with Napjitsu's patent-pending energy and performance products. Horace Grant will join us on behalf of Napjitsu in a moment. Look, my net from... Adam Silver is end of the day. This is not, I mean, he basically said like, look, this is not 2018 to 2021 guys determining where they want to go. This is kind of classic old school. I want to be trade me right effing now. This has been happening since the dawn of time, since the dawn of the league, which I understand. But again, this is a perception thing, not a reality thing. Right, the perception is that the players wield too much control. That's where I think Silver's missing some of it. The reality is these things have happened for years. Players have tried to pick their own, like Kareem Abdul-Jabbar wanted out of Milwaukee, got to LA. Like that happened. You know, we've seen players demand trades. I don't, you know, the Vancouver Grizzlies drafted Stevie Franchise. I'm not playing there. We've seen this is not new. The difference is the perception of the league is very negative in terms of we've, whatever balance you have between the players and the owners in terms of power, it is viewed as being too much on the side of the players. That's how it's viewed. Fairly or unfairly, that's how it's viewed. And I think there's some reality to it. But this is one where, like, you almost think if you're the Sixers, the smart thing to do is continue to push towards a trade. You know, you prefer a trade destination, which is not glamorous. Send him somewhere he ain't gonna like. And oh yeah, by the way, in the meantime, his behavior and actions are not that of a professional. So we're not gonna treat him as a professional. We're not gonna pay him. We're gonna fine him for conduct detrimental as much as we possibly can. Collect that money. So, I mean, look, the contract is the reason that he came back, because so much of it was loaded up in the second you show up, you get paid. And that's what happened. He showed up in order to get paid. He basically did what Marshawn Lynch said at the Super Bowl. I'm just here to not get fined. Then he got himself run out of practice. I'm sure he did it after all those checks cleared. Yikes. Yikes, right? That's hard when you're running the league. Like, Silver really is powerless here, and there really are a lot of unhappy owners, and there's unhappy fans. Yes, John Ramos.
The contract, that long extended contract that Ben Simmons has, that really is the main reason why they, if it was like a year left or 2 years left, they probably would really, I mean, not that they haven't tried to trade him, or they did try to send him to Portland, correct? That was one of the, but I mean, that long contract that he has is really a big sticking point to why they can't really do anything with this guy, correct? Or no?
No.
Okay.
I don't think so. I think he has more value around the league than some fans would think, because he can't shoot and he doesn't shoot. I don't think he's as valuable as the Sixers. I think the Sixers would like to keep him, right? He's much, it's like one of those things, like, we're going to trade an all-star for what? Right? For a bunch of pieces? Or we don't, like, the whole idea of picks, like, we're not in picks mode. We're not the Rockets. We're not the Thunder. We're the Sixers. We're trying to win a championship. And unless we get another player of his caliber back, like, what is the point? So I don't think the contract, I mean, like, look, is it easy to trade those contracts? Like, no. But I, like, John Wall's contract, good luck. I don't know what you do with John Wall's contract. $92 million for 2 years. He doesn't want to be there. You don't want him. And I don't know who you trade him to. I just don't. Because John Wall is not seen as a guy who you can win a championship with. And he's not at the time of his career where you feel like there's still some development. Whereas Ben Simmons, I still believe there's people out there like, we can develop him. We can build around him. There's things that he does really, really well. And we can minimize the one thing he doesn't do well. But I just, here you are, the NBA season, and you're back, and you got baseball's playoffs, NFL's on fire, and you're left with, okay, here we are, we're playing again. It does feel like the not only the last season just ended, but the season before. Remember, you had a season two seasons ago end in October. Then you had a truncated NBA season, which was back right away. Then you had the Olympics. Like, it's been a lot. I love basketball. It's a lot of basketball. So you're back. You don't have this list of superstar or star players. Klay Thompson, Jamal Murray, Kawhi Leonard, Zion Williamson, all out with injuries. Kyrie Irving is anti-everything, and most notably anti-vax and won't play. And now you have Ben Simmons who, you know, goes from not showing up to showing up to disrespectful with sweats to, yeah, I don't want to do that drill. What a beautiful day at Dodger Stadium. Corey Seager just hit it looked like, what was that, a hanging breaking ball. He hit it to straightaway center field off Charlie Morton. And, I mean, it's a little cool for Southern California, right? Again, I totally understand if you're in a part of the country where you're like, Are you kidding me? Because nobody's wearing sleeves. But I mean, 68 degrees where I am. So I'm guessing at the ravine, it's like 72. It is a perfect day for baseball. I mean, a perfect day. You ever heard the term Chamber of Commerce Day? Chamber of Commerce. You get out on the golf course, Chamber of Commerce Day. That's what this is. Where, you know, the Chamber of Commerce wants to sell you on coming to their city. This is it. And Corey Seager just hit a ball. He's left-handed. So left-hander swings look better than right-hander swings. Why is that? Not really sure. He hits a ball to dead center. And the Dodgers take an early lead. Let's see what that does for them. Maybe their bats had hats. They were scared of the curveball. Not really.
Yeah. I was going to tell you that the game on Saturday or Sunday, game two, started this very same way. Seager, two-run homer in the first inning. And then the Dodgers did everything they possibly could to lose the game for the next eight innings. So I'm looking forward to seeing how they handle
everything they
one.
Possibly could?
Oh, yeah, they did. Yeah, every move went wrong in game two. And they overmanaged, and it was ugly.
Well, no, I know the pitching decisions were just bizarre. It was really, really, really bizarre. But baseball is like two different – managing a baseball team is like two – completely different jobs, right? Like at first, your job is to manage everyday situations, manage the lineup, manage egos, guys are having slumps, move people around, you got a young kid you want to throw in, you know, manage your arms, get to the playoffs. Now in playoff baseball, like literally every decision matters. It's a very interesting. Very interesting. And I'm not sure. I do think that the regular season prepares you can, but it's hard to account for pressure. It's hard to account for fatigue. It's hard to account for the level of detail and preparation both sides make. So I do. It's not like Dave Roberts hasn't had a tremendous amount of time to prepare for these situations, because he's been in these situations every year he's been a manager for the Dodgers. They've been in the playoffs. But it was a little wonky with what they decided to do in game two.
And Dave is great at what that first part that you just described. I think he's a great clubhouse guy, and I think he's great with all the egos and everything else. He's a likable guy. I think the second part, he's handcuffed. I don't think he's making all these decisions. I think so many people are in his ear, and you have a front office who really wants to win it in their cute little way. Like, they want to reinvent the wheel, and they want to prove that you can win a title this way. Hey, look. Two teams have done what the Dodgers have been doing, right? The Rays and the Brewers in recent years have had success with the openers and their cute little relievers. The Braves and the Rays and the Brewers did not win at all. You can win over the long haul with that strategy. You can't win the title with that strategy. The Dodgers have the better team.
I'm going to disagree with you. I think, yes, if you have your whole lineup, then yes. But Max Scherzer's got a dead arm. Clayton Kershaw may never pitch for you again, you know. And, you know, you got Walker Buehler, and then, you know, what else do you have, right? You have an outstanding bullpen. I disagree with you. I think if the Dodgers were fully healthy and they weren't stretched and they didn't have, like, look, this is what the wild card does to you. It's not just that the last series went five games and you had to have a heroic performance from Scherzer coming out of the bullpen to win the thing. It was that there's just an amount of wear and tear on your bullpen, on your starters from the wild card game. Plus, at the end of the season, they weren't chilling. They were trying to overtake the Giants. They didn't have to play in that game. They were going for it. So I don't think that they want to prove a point that they have to win this way. I think they have to win this way because that's the strength of their team.
When Scherzer said that his arm was dead after 4 2/3 or whatever, I think most people were like, oh, that sucks. But I'm like, yeah, let's blame the front office for that, right? If they wouldn't had to have used him in game five, then we would have had a healthy Scherzer.
So why are we blaming the front office?
Because they, if they just go to their closer in game five, if they just
they
play,
went to their closer, but, their closer became their setup, man. They went to their best pitcher.
I'm just saying that's the way they did it, but they didn't have to do it that way. They chose to do it that way, right? And it worked, and that's the problem. Every time I see it work.
Hold on, let's imagine the other side. Buyer, hop in on this because, I mean, you study it as much as anybody, okay? And I remember when the Braves were in the playoffs and Craig Kimbrell was their closer and he was the best closer in baseball. And it's the eighth inning against the Dodgers and they didn't break him out of the pen. They gave up a home run. And I tweeted like everybody else, hey, good news is Craig Kimbrell's ready to go for the next game. And there was no next game, right? If you don't use Max Scherzer in that situation and Kenley Jansen gives up runs and you lose to the San Francisco Giants, like everybody's like, why didn't you use Max Scherzer? He's best. He said he was ready.
Sure.
He's a great pitcher. He's pitched in key situations. I don't think you can. Am I wrong? I don't think you can look back and go at the front office. They want to win a game. They use their best pitcher.
No, I also think that when Jason mentioned the Rays and Brewers, I think that they're two totally different organizations. Yes. Like the year that the Brewers did it was because of purely out of necessity. This year, they didn't have to do it. They actually had starting pitchers, and so Craig Counsell wasn't doing that. The Dodgers didn't have to do that.
I think they don't have to do it normally. I think they do have to do it. This is a, look, let's just do the best we can. It's a lot like when the Warriors nearly pulled it off against the Raptors 2 years ago, right? And they had, I mean, everybody was down. Then KD comes back and he's great. And then he gets hurt, right? And then remember they're playing game six and they almost won game six. And then Klay gets hurt. But that wasn't how the Warriors wanted to do it. But in the context of that particular series, they just had to throw things at the wall and saw what sticks. And that's what the Dodgers are trying to do is they have another runner at second base, two outs. As Charlie Morton's got trying to get out of it. He already gave up a two-run home run to Corey Seager earlier on that overhanging breaking ball. Horace Grant say, four-time NBA champion. Remember, he joined the Lakers and won a championship, three with the Bulls. He's joining us on behalf of Napjitsu. Horace, how are you?
Good, Doug. How you doing, my man?
I'm good. So Ben Simmons yesterday he showed up, sweats, cell phone visible in his pocket at practice, sort of participated. Today he was like, nah, I'm not doing it. They sent him home. They suspended him. And Joel Embiid said basically, like, we're done with him. What does it feel like to be on a team? Like, how do you get your motor going when you're the Sixers, when you have this level of distraction to start the season?
Well, Doug, I mean, you know, I was very fortunate to play on some great teams in my time with some great leadership. Hello?
Yeah, I'm listening. You said, okay, I'm listening.
From management to Michael Jordan and Scottie Pippen's and the Kobe's and Shaq's and Penny Hardaway's and the Gary Payton. So I was very fortunate. My thing is if he's a distraction like that, the Sixers should just, you know, for lack of a better phrase, you know, bite the bullet and just trade him to whoever would give them, you know, any compensation for him. You know, it's sad to see that a young man of that talent, because, you know, I feel that last year during the playoffs was just a fluke. And he should have started working on his game during the summer because the first couple of years, I mean, this young man is an all-star. He finished second in the defensive player of the year category. So the talent is there. I think the attitude need to be adjusted a little bit.
How do you when you already reward a guy with a massive contract extension, and he doesn't want to play for you, so he'll get a new basketball life elsewhere. Where does that come from in terms of the attitude adjustment? How does that happen?
When I say the attitude adjustment, meaning that he has to realize that, you know, yes, he's getting paid a ton of money, but along with that money comes being a professional. And that's what I think Ben is lacking right now in terms of being a professional. But on the other hand, he also has to realize that it's a business. And people, you know, say things to get under your skin, even management. But you have to be a professional.
It's Doug Gottlieb Show here on Fox Sports Radio. That's the voice of Horace Grant. He joins us. Horace, you got the Lakers have, like, if this is 2012, hand them the trophy. But it's 2021, going to be 2022, and they got eight All-Stars from 2012. What do you think of the composition of this team? Maybe not even now, but what it's going to look like when it matters in May and June.
Man, I love the Lakers. I love the addition of Westbrook, Anthony, bringing Dwight Howard back. And, you know, of course, LeBron is LeBron. You got AD and Rondo. I love the addition. When it comes April, May, man, look out league. Look out NBA. These guys have so much experience. I know they talk about, you know, they're past the prime, so to speak. But you look at LeBron James, what he averaged last year as a 37-year-old young man. So, I mean, I don't see anyone really challenging them, even in the powerful West.
Okay, then you got Kyrie Irving, who doesn't want to be vaccinated. And to him, it's about making a point about people's civil liberties and their choices. The league obviously is not mandating, but making it very difficult to play if you're not vaccinated. But playing in Brooklyn is nearly impossible. And the team has decided, like, look, dude, we can't do the part-time thing. If you were to have a sit-down with Kyrie, what would you say?
If I sat down with him, I would say, you know, if stand on your ground. I mean, I'm not anti-vax at all. But there's something about that he needs to do some more research on. I mean, I'm not mad at him for standing his ground. I mean, in terms of having him half and not having him at all, I mean, give me half of Kyrie.
Yeah, I think the issue is that in and of itself, you know, it's one thing, but then when you factor in, he didn't want to go to the bubble. He tried to slam the brakes on that. And some of the other stuff, some of the other drama that he's caused, he just doesn't have, even with the people who love him and respect his talent, he doesn't have maybe the equity that he needs to pull this thing off.
Well, he's one of the top 20 players in the NBA right now.
No
in
question.
In terms of talent. But it goes to show you, I mean, he loves the game of basketball. I mean, I haven't spoken to him, but from his actions and how he plays the game with passion, he loves the game of basketball. But yet and still, he wants to make sure that he's doing the right thing for his body.
Doug Gottlieb Show here on Fox Sports Radio. If you had to say, you still think LeBron is the best player in the NBA, or do you think Kevin Durant's the best player in the NBA?
Ooh, man. Ooh, you can toss a coin up, and whatever it comes down, heads or tail, you can't lose with either one of those guys. But until I see someone at LeBron age doing what he does for his team, I would say LeBron is the best player still right now.
What is it?
You know, pardon me?
No, go ahead. You finish your thought.
But, you know, Kevin Durant, I mean, you could argue any day that right now he's one of the most prolific scorers to be 6'11" in the game of basketball.
No, he's amazing. I remember when you guys dominated the Lakers and won your first title. Jordan averaged 11 assists. Like, the big thing was with Jordan Pass, he did, and you guys were incredible. And you, 4-1, you beat the Lakers. The Bucks, I don't want to say the path is the same, but they similarly had failings in the playoffs in the past. And they found a way and they end up winning the whole thing, right? What's that next year? What's that next year like? When you've finally gotten over the hump, you're finally the champion. What is that next year like?
No pun intended. It's bull's eye. I mean, believe me, every team, I mean, from last in the division, the Bucks are their A game. They want to have that bragging right. We beat the champion.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it's different. It's different, right? In that in every week, you know, every game, you know, you go in the NBA game, a midweek game, it's not that big a thing unless you're with LeBron. I've said this before about playing with LeBron. It's different. People don't understand, like you playing with Jordan, right? Or when you're playing with the Lakers. When you're playing with Jordan, you're playing with LeBron, it becomes everybody else's biggest game, and that's now what the Bucks are going to go through. Even though Giannis had been the two-time MVP, being the champion changes the energy in the building every time you step on the floor.
You're exactly right, Doug. In terms of, you say, for an example, probably the weakest team in the East. I don't know who that might be. But that particular game, they're going to look at Giannis, like a Michael Jordan, like a Kobe, like a Shaq, like a LeBron. It's going to be their A game. And every arena is going to be sold out because the Milwaukee Bucks are the champs. And if they're not careful, they could be, you know, looking up at people in the playoffs.
Tell me about Napjitsu.
Wow, man, that Napjitsu, if I had it when I was playing, I'd probably still be playing right now. I mean, you have a product called the Now. I mean, it gives you that constantly energy throughout the day. You know, I take it. I mean, I don't even drink coffee that much anymore. I take that. And then you have a product called a Nap. You know, it puts you to sleep, and it gradually wakes you up, man. I mean, I wish I had it for right after we had like shoot around. So It's a great product.
All right, that's Napjitsu. Hey, Horace, let's catch up again real soon. Thanks so much for joining us.
You're very welcome, Doug. Have a great day, my man.
All right, Horace 15, you get 15% off all Napjitsu products.
Be sure to catch the live edition of the Doug Gottlieb Show weekdays at 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Doug Gottlieb Show, Fox Sports Radio. All right, we got a lot to get to here. A lot to get to. Let's do so by going to the press.
The press.
All right, I'll give a quick update. Top of the second inning, runner at second base, one out. It's Walker Buehler still on the mound for the Dodgers. What do you got, Dan Byer?
This control room on the other side of the glass is something else. They got two in the bottom half of the first inning, and they're mad because the Dodgers left the bases loaded at the bottom of the first. This is a greedy group we are dealing with Jason Stewart and John Ramos.
I love our group text where Ramos has taken to the every once in a while I get a that's baseball text. I love that, right? Because that's my thing. For anything that doesn't make any sense, you can just say that's baseball.
Ramos, people
go, oh yeah, that's baseball. But they're insane. You know that the Braves are good, right? They're not going to just give up at runs every time somebody gets on base.
Sure.
By the way, don't let H beat you. Get M Drive, the supplement for driven men that supports recovery, like ACL recovery, healthy testosterone levels, and boosts energy. Visit mdriveformen.com for 20% off with the promo code Doug. Don't let H beat you. Get M Drive. All right, go ahead, Dan.
Charlie Morton's walked four so far. Walked four in that bottom half of the first inning. So
yeah, he
may
was really
not be
32 pitches, 15 strikes. That's not Charlie Morton. Like, and by the way, the Dodgers just got the Braves to ground into a double play.
All right, the Dodgers getting the offense from Corey Seager. Could Corey Seager be the apple of the New York Yankees' eye? Yankees GM Brian Cashman, in announcing that Aaron Boone got a new 3-year deal, said that shortstop is an area of need for the Yankees. The Gleyber Torres experiment did not play out as well as they would have hoped. You also have Carlos Correa could be a possibility this offseason, but that's what's happening in Yankee land. Moving on to the
Just announce that's like a team that's like the Lakers going like, you know, we really need somebody like 6'7" to 6'9" Plays a bunch of positions, won a championship. Like, it's not tampering, but it's clearly tampering.
Speaking of the Lakers, Chris Haynes of Yahoo Sports reporting that the Lakers starting lineup tonight will feature LeBron James, Anthony Davis, Russell Westbrook, Kent Bazemore, and DeAndre Jordan as they open up their season against the Warriors.
I will say DeAndre Jordan looked washed last year, so we'll see what he looks like this year.
NBA odds to win the NBA title. Bet Rivers saying the Brooklyn Nets right now plus 230, Lakers plus 400, Bucks plus 850, with Golden State at plus 1200. Gambler.
I think you put a little money there over there on Golden State, don't you? And the other team I'd take a peek at, Denver Nuggets. Like, again, I don't know what Jamal Murray, what he's going to look like when he comes back, but like, that's a team. They have an MVP. They can really, really, really score.
Plus 2,000 for the Nuggets right now.
It's not crazy. Like, you know, I mean, I'm not like, if you throw 1,000 down, you know, or to throw 500 down, like, it's not a crazy, crazy bet if you go to Bet Rivers. Go ahead.
Gambler. Cade Cunningham not going to make his Pistons debut. He's going to sit out tomorrow's opener against the Bulls because of an ankle injury, sprained ankle.
But it's going to be a long career, so, you know, get your ankle right before you come back.
Again, I'm all for the motorcade in Detroit. That's what his fan section should be.
The motorcade.
Finally, Doug.
Not the motorboat.
No.
Motorboat.
No. His first name isn't Boat Cunningham. So
I
that's
know.
Why
I, just, yeah. I, yes. just, I just I just
I know.
Everybody likes the motorboat.
Tiger Woods' Hero World Challenge is back. It'll take place in December in the Bahamas. However, Tiger is not going to be competing in the 20-player field.
No, but he is recovering. People have seen him walking. You got one more? You want to sneak in one more?
I've got, how about this one? Von Miller saying on Thursday night for the Broncos, I don't know who the tackle I'm going against is, but I'm going to kill him when it comes to facing the Cleveland Browns.
I like that.
Of course, the Browns down two tackles as they lost to the Cardinals and don't know if Wills and Jack Conklin will be able to play in that.
Hey, get out there and press.
That was the press.
All right, that's Dan Beyer. I'm taking both the road teams to win tonight, okay? The Nets, when healthy, are better than the Bucks, so I'm going to take the Nets tonight. And I think the Warriors, I think Jordan Poole explodes tonight. Jordan Poole. Dive in the pool, Splash Brother. Perfect name, right? All right, enjoy the hoops and baseball. Doug Gottlieb Show.